Welcome everyone to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnals. So if you didn't get one of those, they're available at the entrance, actually both entrances, near the burning candle there, near the main entrance. And our homilist tonight is Doug Thorpe. And before we begin worship, some of you may know that Cindy Peterson, who is a staff person here at Holden working in laundry, learned today that her mother passed away. They knew this was coming, but didn't know when. And so Cindy will be leaving tomorrow. And tonight we surround her with our love and our prayer. A reading from Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. While all day long they say to me, where now is your God? I pour out my soul when I think on these things. Let us pray. O God, who brought us to birth, and in whose arms we die, comfort Cindy and her family in their grief at the death of Marge. Surround them with your love. Give them comfort and peace to release her into the embrace of your mercy. And be with all of us as we surround Cindy with our love and support. In Jesus' name, amen. After a moment of silence, our worship begins with a choir anthem.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, abundant one, healer and lover of this world, take us to your river and drop us in. Teach us to swim in your delicious body. Teach us to drink deeply of the wine that you have made of these waters, wine of compassion, wine of joy. Amen. A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east, and the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. And it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. Once these waters reach there, it will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglim, and it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and its marshes will not become fresh. They are left to be salt. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." The word of the Lord. In the past, I've had the great fortune of giving homilies here before, and I've always wanted to include a poem. I'm a literature professor, so I always want to include a poem. And then rereading this passage from Ezekiel, I realized there was no reason to include a poem because the passage is itself such beautiful poetry. It's surely one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, one with a deep history and influence. It's a text that speaks of healing and abundance, and that in its own beauty provides just that. It gives us a taste of paradise. The context. This is chapter 47 out of 48 chapters in Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest for whom the capture and destruction of Jerusalem in the year 587 BC was the central event in his life, as we hear specifically and explicitly in chapter 33. And the final 15 chapters of Ezekiel rise through a series of paradoxes. On the one hand, all hope is gone. Jerusalem has fallen. The temple is destroyed. On the other hand, there is always hope. And it culminates in chapter 37, where we get the famous vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, Mortal, can these bones live? Prophesy to these bones. Which, of course, is exactly what Ezekiel is doing. These bones are the exiled Israelites. They are his family, his friends, his community. They are the lost, the lonely, the poor in spirit. They are the ones left for dead. Those bones are, at one time or another, each one of us. This leads us to the climactic chapters, 40 through 48, and a vision where the prophet is transported to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. This was the spiritual home for the Jews, and this, above all, was what had been lost with the loss of Jerusalem. He is led through the sanctuary. He sees the return of the glory to the temple, and he listens as he is told the statutes, the measurements of the altar, the ordinances for the dedication. It is as if what matters is the reconstruction of the temple itself, the return of the rituals and sacrifices. So many of these chapters delineate precisely measurements. And then we get this reading. We get something beyond ordinances. Water flowing from below the threshold of the temple. It begins as a trickle and quickly builds. It was ankle deep. It was knee deep. It was up to the waist. It was a river I could not cross. It was deep enough to swim in. And he repeats, it could not be crossed. It is a river deep and wild, strong, beautiful, and dangerous. It flows from under the threshold of the sanctuary. It is not itself the sanctuary, but something else. Something the sanctuary points to, something it is built upon. It seems to rise up out of the earth, this water, and yet its source is unseen, unknowable. It is deep enough to swim in. These waters are the same that flow from Eden in the second chapter of Genesis. Waters of paradise, waters that speak God's name in our ears, that satisfy our deepest thirst, even before we knew what thirst might mean. Now, of course, we know what it means to be thirsty. These are the waters that John witnessed in the final chapter of the book of Revelations. Quote, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. They are, in short, the waters of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of things, Genesis to Revelation. They are that beginning and end. They are the very source of life, that mystery out of which all things flow. They are the living word, these waters. This word that speaks to us in the sound of our actual rivers, our creeks, in these mountains and trees around us. Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw a great many trees on one side and on the other. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. It will become fresh. Everything will live. As one scholar dryly comments, one is at once aware of the different world which one has entered. No kidding. We've left behind statutes and ordinances. We've left behind literalism. Yes, it's the actual geography of Palestine that Ezekiel is describing, the Dead Sea, the Engedi. It's clear that the prophet is invoking the actual land that his listeners would have known and would recognize. But this water flowing from the temple, it's something else again. This is a vision that reverses Noah's flood, that covers all the land and drowns the people. Instead, now, the land is covered with waters that generate life, trees on the banks, fruit like that in paradise. It is a different world. These leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. This is a world of poetry, of metaphor, but nonetheless real and true in some powerful way. Poetry because there isn't any other language that will carry us so deeply into this kind of water. A river that speaks healing, speaks salvation. As Scott said last night, this salvation is not something that has to do with disembodied souls after death, but something here and now in our flesh and blood. It is as though we've left behind all the legalities that seemed to consume Ezekiel earlier, including questions of foreigners who defile the temple by their presence. That's in Ezekiel as well. And now we move into a place that, at least for many of us at Holden, prepares us for something undefinable that Jesus himself will bring and embody. I think of his words in John 4 to the Samaritan woman that seem to echo these words from Ezekiel. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. This too is holy water. And what does the nameless woman respond? Sir, give me this water. We're also reminded here in a time when the literal fighting over this land has recently led a group of young Israelis, children really, to hang a Palestinian boy in this same city of Jerusalem, a few miles from this same Temple Mount, for no real reason whatsoever, beyond the fact that he is Palestinian, and so in their eyes, worthless. We're reminded in Ezekiel's vision that the point is not the temple itself, but what flows from it, and that it is not something quantifiable, not something to be owned, and indeed not something even tangible. This water speaks in and as poetry and does so precisely to lift us out of our literalism and legalities and to place us in an entirely different realm, a realm that Jesus will define as kingdom, another metaphor for a place that is plenty deep to swim in, but that cannot be crossed, perhaps because there is no other side to that kingdom. In this kingdom, there is only here and now. The river flows and life abounds. Trees grow along its banks. This is what we as humans imagine as paradise. It is what we seek, but seem to find only too rarely in our lives. But it is surely why so many of us come to these mountains and this valley. It is why we were born, to swim in this water, to taste it, and to share it. There is, finally, only this. Amen.
Let us pray. May God give us silence in our lives to hear the voice of love. Joy in our lives to hear the laughter of love. Strength in our lives to do the work of love. And may the peace of God, who is the source and spring and ever-flowing stream, one God, be with you now and forever. Amen.